oversees all the gang ministries in Colorado, New Mexico, and all of Texas. He is also the associate pastor there in Elder Pastor Tom Vasquez's church in Denver, Colorado. Amen. Where he's been serving there for over 20 years. Amen. Help me welcome up my good friend, Pastor Rich DeFoya.
Amen. I'm excited to be here with you again this evening. Amen. And, Pastor Danny, he was with us not too long ago in our region, and he spoke. How many of you guys have a pastor that brings the house down? I told Pastor, I was like, I love your swag. He's just got that swag. I was like, he's so gangster. He's like, well, you know. But he was with us, and I had an opportunity to basically teach a class about being an armor bearer. And he said, I want that in my church. So I told him, okay, Pastor, talk to Pastor Tom, And God worked it out. But I know that tonight what I'm going to speak on is a desire of your pastor's heart. I'm going to talk about an armor bearer that has the heart of his armor bearer, of his king. Because how many know that it's important, especially in our vision? Yes, behind every great man is a woman, his wife. But there's a leadership team that really determines the success or the failure of a church. And so I was asking, like, who's going to be there, trying to figure out. Because I know this, that it's not what you speak, but it's who you're speaking to. But tonight I really have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, but also Pastor Danny, because he said, I want it just like that. I want it uncut, and I want you to do what you did on that Saturday. So that's what I'm going to do. So right there where you're at, I want you just to close your eyes, because I want you to know what I'm talking about is serious business to me. I'm talking about the laying down of your life to see somebody else's dreams come to pass. Building something that, yes, you can call your own, but ultimately belongs to somebody else. So I want you to close your eyes right there where you're at. Begin to focus on God as we begin to worship tonight. Because I need the Holy Spirit to deposit first into you before this can even make an impact. So right there where you are, lift your hands. Begin to worship.
You provide the fire.
Your way, Holy Spirit. You're trusting in your power, your anointing, your wisdom and discernment. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you remove me. Speak through me. Father, I count it a privilege and a great opportunity to be here amongst all of these leaders, God, and those that are willing, Father, the committed, Father, that say, Lord, here I am. Do whatever it is that you want to do with my life, Father, for this vision, for this kingdom. And tonight, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would guide me, direct me, speak through me, God. And I pray for life-changing tactics and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. For God, I know that this is what changed my life. And I believe there's leaders here, God, that Pastor Danny is looking to for the future of this church, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Amen, amen. And you may be seated tonight. And I, once again, I just want to thank Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara for the opportunity, because I know that, you know, this is not just entrusted to anyone. Amen. You guys are his sheep. And so I know that, you know, he said for me to be at home, but at the same time, I'm a shepherd dog somewhere else. So I'll try to keep my barking to a minimal. Amen. And so how many of them were family? We're family. And that's what I love about Victory Outreach, that no matter where we go, it's still the same vision and direction, and God is on the move. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 7. Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 7, and if you're titling this message, it's called An Armor Bearer of the King. This is what 1 Samuel reads in chapter 14. Do what is in your heart. Then the armor bearer, he says, the armor bearer replied, I am with you heart and soul. Here the Philistines had posted troops all around Israel to remind them that they were under Philistine domination. They were flexing their muscle. But for some reason, the Bible doesn't tell much, but Jonathan decided to go over and defeat one of the garrisons. How many of that we have pastors that just don't stay still? That, you know, they'll get up and move in a moment's time? And we see Jonathan go over, and really it begins to stir the bee nest, because the Philistines are like, hold on, wait a second. Did this just happen? And the Bible says that the Philistines began to hear about what had taken place, so they mustered up an army. And if you know anything about this army, there were 6,000 horsemen. There were 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. And the Bible says that there was an army as numerous as the sea of the shore, or the sands of the seashore. Poetically meaning that it was too numerous to count. So what happened is that Israel became fearful, to begin to hide in holes and rocks and tombs. And then we have King Saul underneath a pomegranate tree with 600 of his men. But something inside of Jonathan just didn't sit right. He said, this is not the calling that God has for our life. We're called to possess. We're called to take. We're called to go into lands, and we're called to take over. Jonathan responds, but he doesn't look to his father Saul or his 600 men. He looked for one man, his armor bearer. He said, just give me one good man, a man that has my heart, a man that has my interests, knows my likes and dislikes, somebody that I can trust my life with. He said, I want a man that can see what I can see, hear what I can hear, and feel what I can feel. Because a man or an armor bearer that has my heart, I can obtain the victory. You know, this is dear to my heart because, you know, there in the church, I'm a product of the gang, God's Anointed Now generation. You know, I came in, but I remember, you know, we were probably the only one of the married couples. Actually, we were in sin when we came in. And pastor said, hey, you got to get right. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, what are you going to do about Brenda? I was like, we're going to go home. And he's like, no, I'm talking about getting married. I was like, oh, we're not getting married. And he's like, but the Bible says. I said, what? Oh, we're getting married. So I walked up to her and I said, hey, Pastor Cesar said we have to get married. So we got to pick a date. She's like, okay. That was my proposal. 19 years ago. Of course, she said yes, amen. She was like, yeah, because that's the way that when we got saved, it was like, whatever. And I wanted to be right with God. But I remember we were like one of the only married couples in the gang. And so I could see Pastor Tom, you know, he didn't really, but he began to watch me as I was in the gang. And soon enough, he said, you know what, I'm going to take him. And he took us out of the gang. And, you know, I was there in the church on 46 in Tijon. And we were, you know, we were in the build. God was moving. Things were happening. We were pushing that 500. We were going over 500. And then we had an opportunity for a building. And Pastor Tom felt that it was God. And the leadership moved. And at this time, I wasn't part of the top level leadership. And I was still there just, you know, earning my bones. I'm just a young whippersnapper, just trying to stay safe. And we moved. And I remember what happened is that one of our pastors, actually the assistant pastor, his second in command, started speaking into some of the church, and there was a church split. And so we moved into this new building, depending and believing that our whole church was going to move with us, but it was split down the middle. And then recession hit. And we were going through some terrible times. And I want you to know about the leaders that, you know, that we sit under. They never wipe their emotions on their sleeve. No matter what, Pastor Tom, Sister Dodie, they stay in the direction and they stay to the task and they stay on the battlefield. But you could tell that there was something. Because not only did he leave, but some of his top-level leaders left also. So then it started, you know, that opportunity opened up. And me and Joey, we were just looking at each other like, why did Pastor make us sit up front? Right? But I began to notice God beginning to move and begin to line up certain individuals that would eventually take the church from there to where it is now. Pastor called a meeting and I was invited to that meeting. And I remember, and actually, you know, I lie. I am not lying, but I got it wrong. I don't lie. You know how you people say, you know, I want to tell the truth. No, I always tell the truth. But Pastor Tom didn't call the meeting. Pastor Cesar called the meeting. And they said, we need to go pray for Pastor. You know, they're going through this. And there was a lot of thing with the finances because it's a big ship. And we went over, and I'll never forget, this is where my life changed. We went over there to pray for him. He said, look, he was upset. Thought he would be happy that we went to go pray for him. He said, look, I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I need you to help me build. He said, I need armor bearers. And I remember that night we began to pray and the Spirit of God began to fall. And I said, you know what, God? I want to be an armor bearer. I want to be that second in command that will help this man and this woman achieve their dreams and their goals. Is there anyone else like that tonight? See, the growth and the health of the church depends on the heart system of the leadership. Does it share the same vision as the pastor? See, the leadership needs to see the vision, the church, the city, the development of leaders, and the direction the way that the pastor sees. Basically, they need to see the desires of his heart. He preaches from this pulpit and he hears it. Some of you get the privilege to be in that table. And if God's called you to the table, you have to make sure that you not only open your ears, but you open your heart. Because the right heart system will produce the right value system. Henry Ford said this, the owner of Ford. You can take away everything, but give me back my people, and I will do it all over again. This is not for the faint at heart. What I'm speaking about tonight is not for those that might have come for the first time, even though you'll get something out of it. Like I said, I have to be obedient. But I want you to know that I'm talking to the committed that say that I'm here for the long run. I'm not here for my own agenda. I'm not here to build my own vision. But I'm here for Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara and the church in Albuquerque. Why? Because when people share the same values and standards of the leader, the same values and standards produce the same sacrifice. Produces commitment, passion, and results for the overall goal. Look at her ministry. Look at the vision and the standards and the values. Pastor Sonny's never strayed from that. Sister Julie has never strayed to that. The values remain the same, and so do the standards. And because of that, people like Pastor Steve Pineda, Pastor Ed Morales, you know, all the elders and pastors, Pastor Dave, gave their life for the ministry, because we're not playing games. We have cities that we need to take, and there's hurting people out there in our cities that need a victory outreach to be strong in their leadership. Because we're not playing games, but it requires the same sacrifice. My pastor works hard, and I know your pastor works hard too. And they're not doing it for just the overall hand clap, title. My pastor, when he became an elder, he was humbled. He doesn't even like when we call him Pastor Elder. You know, Pastor Caesar would be like, welcome, Pastor Elder. And he's like, stop, Caesar, stop. Because he's humbled by it. See, we're looking for the ones that say, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart. Those who have a personal relationship with their leader, a bond and a connection. Look, you have to get so close that you begin to get that deposit. We're not looking for clones. We're looking for brands. And I'll explain that at the end, but brands, a victory outreach brand and a stamp of approval that you've been tried and tested, that you've gone through the process, and that he can trust you not only with his life, but he can trust you with his church. Not only can he trust you with his church, but he can trust you with his wife. Not only can he trust you with his wife, but he can trust you with his kids. And that what he holds dear to his heart, you hold it with the same standard and value. Being an armor bearer. And there are a few things I believe that will help you produce this heart. The heart of your king. Listen, you have to learn that. I know Pastor Danny's character because I see it. I see him every, Pastor Sonny walks in and there's Pastor Danny with his swag. Right? And I see these men that are lifting up Pastor Sonny's arms. We go to these, you know, the conventions, and we go to all of these things, and I see Pastor Danny there early because I'm there with my pastor, and I see Pastor Danny setting up, even though he's the leader of this church, but he is humble enough to help somebody else build their dream, that he'll be running cords, that he'll be doing the sound in the back, because he is committed to this cause. See, what is an armor bearer? The word used in Greek literally means the one who carries the armor. These were men who carried the shield and went before their leaders in battle. They literally carried the weight so that their leaders could focus on the battle. These armor bearers put their lives on the line and they went before their leaders right there in the battle. So that way their leader behind them can focus and begin to strategize and begin to see and begin to focus on the battle. That's what we need in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. And I'm not saying that you don't have that. But I'm talking about a man and a woman, leaders, that say, I'm at your disposal. Whatever you need me to be, Pastor Danny, I'll be that. See, these were men who held the shield. The question is, does everything have to go through your pastor? Or does he have leaders who can help with the decisions, the conflict, the little details, and even the bigger finishes? not just share the burden, but take the burden. You know, that's what's funny. You know, over time, I've had to learn to earn my place at the table, right? And some of you may be at the table, and you know how it is when you first come to the leadership table. You don't know what to say. Do I put my foot in my mouth? Do I not? Do I really speak my opinion? Does he really want to hear my mind? And most of the time, it's no. Because I remember when I was young, I would say something, and he would be like, no, brother, what's wrong with you? Oh, yeah, I brought you to the table. But you know what it really was? Is I was speaking out of my own heart, not his. And I remember when I began to learn his heart, and I would begin to speak up, he'd be like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. But it's because I began to learn and adapt to who my pastor is and what he's looking for. See, we're not just, these armor bearers just weren't water boys. Towel boys. We're not looking for people to carry our, you know, our pastor's Bibles, which is good. I mean, if your pastor likes it, then, but my pastor don't let us touch his Bible. I tell my disciples when they come up, you know, don't worry about carrying my Bible. Worry about building the church. Did you check on the parking lot? Did you check on the nursery? I'll carry my own Bible. Will you help carry the weight of this church? These were selected men chosen by the king himself. The king didn't just choose anyone to go to battle with him. They picked them for their bravery, their skill, ability, and results. See, a king was looking for longevity, not just longevity, but productivity. What are you doing now in this church? And you can say you're doing all kinds of things, but what are you truly doing? And like, please, like I said, I'm just going to be obedient to Pastor Danny. I'm just going to cause a mess, and then the front row can clean it up. The ones that have the heart of your pastor. Because even on that Saturday, I was a little bit more, you know, I told him, if you don't, I said, don't even come to my class. Don't you dare come to my class. If you don't really know what it, you know, to count the cost and what it's going to take, it's going to cost your life. It's going to cost your marriage. It's going to cost your finances. It's going to cost your children. It's going to cost your everything. Don't you dare come to this class. And I had people show up. And I even asked them again. I was like, are you sure? You know you're sitting in this class. That's going to require you to sacrifice it all. And everybody nodded their head. And I said, okay. Which tells me that there's people just like you that came out that are saying, I have that desire and that hunger. Because what you do now really is the potential of what you can become in the future. I tell my disciples, prove to me now your future title. Don't wait for your title, then prove it. Prove to me now your future title. You say you want to be a pastor? Then act like it now. How are you winning the heart of your church? How are you getting the heart, you know, the heart of your pastor? What are you doing now to be a pastor? While I'm preaching. Pastors know that, you know, there is so much more to being a pastor than just preaching. I've learned that. Especially when I started getting close to Pastor Tom and he began to say, okay, you deal with this. Me? Are you sure, Pastor? Yeah, you deal with it. But he's a pastor in my church. Yeah, but he's not tithing. You deal with it. Okay. I'll deal with it. Show me. Sorry. See, we have to decide now what we want to be then. Do you truly want to be an armor bearer? Because as we go, I'm going to begin to talk about what it requires. Because things like availability and reliability, or being reliable. I'm not just talking available so you can talk to him, but available for whatever he wants. And reliable. These are basic, and I'm going to get, but those are the basics. If you don't have this down, then you don't really, you're not in that position to be an armor bearer of a king. I'm not saying that you can't get there, but these are basics. Availability, being reliable, loyal and committed, integral and trustworthy. If we don't trust you with the offering basket, we don't trust you to sit at the table. If you're not paying your tithes, then how can we make sure that you're going to be integral with the life group? Can I get an amen? If you're not loyal, even in the battle, you show up during or you show up right on time, but you weren't there to set up, and you weren't there after when we cleaned up, then I'm sorry. Something's wrong. And teachable. Oh, hallelujah. You know, a lot of people say you have to be teachable and moldable. But you know what the problem is with being moldable? You get stuck in that same position. I learned that you not only have to be teachable, but you have to be bendable. You have to be flexible, right? I don't know about you, but we've had that saying in our ministry for a long time, just flow, and we use it up. Oh, I have a meeting in an hour. I got to go. Sorry, whatever I'm doing, got to go. Being flexible, not just being, you know, being a student, but being a student that learns that, you know, the ministry changes, sometimes the direction changes, and we just have to be ready to change our schedule. I know we were going to celebrate our anniversary this weekend, babe, but we're going to have to wait a month. Because this is the only week that we have open, but pastor says that we need to do this, and I know that we have next week this, you know, but you know that I love you, but we're just going to have to celebrate that anniversary when it doesn't line up with the priority. When we get the opportunity, but it's never for the sake of our pastor's vision. If I don't get the approval, then I don't do it. See, all of these things that are basic really open the door for the next step, which is becoming an armor bearer to a king in that relationship. See, as a king would come and he would see certain people faithful and dedicated and they were being developed, and he would begin to see their bravery and he would begin to see how they responded in war, he would say, I want that one. Because there's something different about that one. There's something, the way that he presents himself. He's here at every battle. Well, the others are in the back crying. He's here in the front. Like, King, you know, what do you need? What do you need me to do? Want me to move this body? I'll move this body off the field. You want me to hold it? You know, what do you want me to do? Pull arrows out? Something different about him. He's willing. He's open. And he's always available. These begin to open up the doors to building that relationship. And as you build a relationship, you basically get relational responsibilities. As you begin to get into all these things, you begin to draw close, what happens is pastor begins to see, and all of a sudden some things begin to happen. And this is what needs to happen first. If you truly desire to be an armor bearer to a king, first you got to get the basics out of the way. If you don't have the basics out of the way, it's okay. You can just get the basics in line. But women and men, leaders that have a heart of a servant, this really is down for whatever. How many know in the world you were down for whatever? We're going to go over here, we're going to do this. I'm down for whatever. And then you get saved. It's like, I don't know, I have to pray about it. I don't know, pastor. Let me talk to my wife. You never asked your wife before. You were like, girl, get in the car. Just get in the car, get in the car. But now you're like, I have to talk to, I think my son's birthday is on that day. Down for whatever attitude. Pastor Steve Pineda said it. He said it like this. He said, it takes a big man to lay down his life for a bigger man. And the Bible tells us that there's no greater love than the laying down of one's life for the sake of another. Here I am. Ready to serve. Ready to put my hands to the plow. Whatever it's going to take. See, we have to be leaders and say, whatever it takes. See, the armor bearer went from carrying the armor to battle, to protecting, to, you know, cleaning up after the fight. That was one of their biggest jobs. Okay, pastor, let's go. He would clean up, you know, get the armor ready, and they would go into battle. He would be there with the shield, and then his king would do his thing, chop off heads. And then the ones that weren't dead, he'd go by and, like, he would finish the job. And then after that, he would take that and he would clean up the armor and the sword and get it ready for the next battle. Sometimes, leader, you're going to have to do the dirty stuff. You're going to have to get dirty. Because what happened? He says, you know what? As they called us up, then we're going to go up. And then right then and there, his armor bearer didn't say, you know, we got to climb up that mountain. No, the Bible says that they got on their hands and their knees and they began to crawl up this mountain. Sometimes you got to get on your hands and knees when it comes to the ministry. Late nights. What do you mean we have to give up money again? But I'm broke. Well, you're going to be a little bit more broke on Monday because we need it. You know, when my pastor, I learned, like, he'll be like, okay, you need to rap at a rally. Okay, I'm going to rap at a rally. He said, I need you to do a drama. Okay, I'm going to do a drama. Okay, I need you to go deal with this marriage. Okay, I'm a counselor. It's like we're putting on all these hats. Okay, I need you to go to the summer camp, and I need you to, you know, be a rep. I'm going to rep. I'm going to rep. I'm in rep mode right now. I'm in rep mode. I need you to run the life group. Okay, I'm in life group right now. I need you just to be an armor bearer. I need you to carry this stuff to the car for my wife. I need you just to come to leadership meetings just so that way I can have you there in case I need you or if I just feel like rebuking you. Hey, I've learned this too. Sometimes you get rebuked for doing nothing but being there. Because pastor, and I guarantee the king, he just really, you know, released his frustration on the armor bearer. But hey, I would rather him do it to me than somebody in the church. I would rather him do it to me than his wife. I'd rather him do it to me than his kids. Because if it makes you feel better, then pastor, cut me up. Because I'm not going anywhere. My feelings aren't going to get hurt. Because I have your heart. I understand that you're in a place right now because as soon as you do it to me, I'm going to go cut my disciples up. Get over here, Joe. What's wrong with you? But don't. Stop. Go get Danny right now. Bring Danny. See, the word armor bearer is made up of two words. The first is Nayan or Nayan, means to lift. The second is Kela, which means to end. To lift and to end. We know that it was to lift the armor, but also to end what needed to be ended. Whether it was the cleanup. But really what this means is that we have to be leaders that are in it from start to finish. Start to finish. Many times what happens, and I even see it in my church. I don't know if I see it here. But you know, in my church, because you know, we have problems in Denver. We have leaders with titles that aren't there from start to finish. And they show up in the middle and they leave early. And we haven't even cleaned up the battle yet. And there's only a select few that are there getting the armor ready. So you know what? Pastor's going to need his sword tonight. You know what? You might as well bring out the spear too. But you know what? We're going to get ready and we're there preparing. You know, I'm right there with the home, setting up tables, setting up chairs, making sure that it's the way that pastor likes it. And then I'm there to see it get cleaned up, making sure that it's done right. Because I don't want my pastor to say, hey, why was this out of place? Because that's what I'm for. To come behind him and clean it up. Start to finish. See, the armor bearer didn't get to chip or to pick and choose. It's a whatever it takes attitude. Whatever it takes to get the job done. You need my finances? Here's my finances. You need my time? Here's my time. You need my talents? Here's my talents. Yeah, I don't even know how to do it, but you need it, and nobody else is going to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be the best at it, whatever it is. You know, in my church, it's just like, that's like I need you to do offering, and it seems like I do offering all the time. So I just don't want to go up there and say the same thing, but I come up with stories, and I, you know, I do my best. I'm there all week, like, I got to come up with an offering scripture. I got to make these people give. I got to put my time and effort into it. But for some offering? Come on, I'm ready to preach. I have a doctor's. I graduated Vetti. But you'll never have the anointing. Doesn't matter how much you know. Because it's in the trenches and in the battle and the wars where you get your anointing is where you begin to, you know, and You know what? I was thinking yesterday when Pastor Pat took me to golf and beat me, which is still, I'm thinking it's unfair. My first time playing golf. This is what we are. We're just a tee so that our pastor can get launched out into the green, into the open. You get pushed in the ground. You get broken. You get hit, pushed around. But you know what I noticed with the tee? It gets picked up and get put back in the pocket. And the leader takes it with him. The golfer takes the tee with him. I've been places that I know that I never would have gone if I wasn't there for my pastor to, so he could launch out and say, wait a minute, I need my tee. You're just a tee. When you understand that, that you are here for the greater good, that you're here so Pastor Danny, so Barbara can go and do marriage counseling and do a marriage seminar for the region and the church not skip a beat, then you know that you have that attitude. See, the duties of an armor bearer is to make his king's life easier, doing the heavy lifting. A servant sees the need. The needs of the church, the needs of the people, and the needs of his leader. We need leaders that just don't come to church and not see what pastor sees. You know, my pastor comes in and he sees everything. And I learned that. I mean, I would come in and he would be like calling people. He'd be like, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? I mean, all the way to the point, he's like, the lights are on the wall. They're not supposed to be on the wall. They're supposed to be on this wall, but yet I can see a little glare up there. There's no toilet paper in the box. The trashes are full. And all the little details. See, a servant sees the details. I remember when I was like, okay, I got to see these things. So I would follow him without, you know, trying to like hide behind the chairs. And he'd be like, there's no toilet paper. Next Sunday, there was toilet paper in there. Anything that he pointed out. So when he started showing up on Sundays, he's like, hey, everything looks good. But he didn't see me back there early at 8 o'clock in the morning before everybody else got there. I was even there before the worship team got there. I was putting things in order, putting things in place. So that way when he showed up, he didn't have to say, do this, do that, do this, or do this. Or why didn't we do this? I took ownership and said, that's my job. I'll take care of it. If nobody else is going to take care of it, then I'll do it. Even seeing the needs of the people, because how many know that our pastors can't meet every need? I would say, well, what would pastor do? And begin to move and begin to function and begin to, you know, begin to respond. And then his leader. Do you see the need of your leader? Or do we always come to our leader for our needs? You know, I stopped that a long time ago with Pastor Tom. People will come in right before he's getting ready to preach. Pastor, you know we got to do this. Pastor, can you put this on the prayer report? Pastor, I know I've been gone for 2 weeks. No, stop. Shut up, go outside, and let Pastor get his message together. Because I wouldn't say shut up to everybody. I'd be like, excuse me, brother. The man of God is studying and preparing himself in the Spirit. It would be great if you would just wait until after, if he's available. And then even going to the point like, but if you need anything, can I help you? Let me pray for you. Let me get that prayer request on the prayer need. Let me do that for you. Because I know my pastor just wouldn't, because that's my pastor's heart. No, but pastor's studying right now. Do you see his need? See, I got one thing is that when Pastor Danny began to speak there, I understood that he's looking for leaders. Like I said, they're not a clone. But they are a brand of him. Do what is needed and do it until it is done. We have to do what nobody else wants to do. David played the harp for Saul. And you guys know that Saul was crazy. But David was his armor bearer. But yet he knew that he tried to calm down Saul's spirit. Even though he would begin to throw spears at his head. Joab and his 10 armor bearers struck Absalom down. Even though King David didn't want his son to die, but Absalom said this, I know that he doesn't want to, but Absalom is for his life. There's nothing good coming to King David because Absalom wanted his life, so he did what had to be done to protect his king. We have to have a heart of a servant, that humble servant that we come to serve, whether it means moving chairs, or ministering to the church. We have to be that heart of a servant. The next thing is a heart of a warrior. See, a warrior sees the responsibility. See, it has that, you know, we were talking about that, what I'll do, I'm down for whatever. But we have to have that, I'll do whatever, or I'm ready for whatever. See, an armor bearer was ready forever, or ready for whatever, when it came to the battle. Not only did he have to learn to serve, but he had to learn to fight. These were trained men in war, trained in battle. But every time that they would go to battle with their armor or with their king, they would have to learn his style. They would have to learn his strength and his weaknesses. But what they began to do is they began to take ownership. Like, look, I know that you're going to battle and I'm just an armor bearer, but this is my battle too. I have to take ownership. I have to go to war. I have to make it my own. Can I get an amen? See, the word armor bearer was also known as a retainer. One that a king could retain something from. He was basically known as an apprentice. He was trained to complement the fighting style of his king. And he trained not only for results, but to be efficient, but also have the same quality. Can you imagine fighting with somebody that doesn't have the same quality in the battle that you do, and you're trusting them with your life? Nah. He said, "You boy, you better swing that sword the way I swing that sword." But it's only when you feel that responsibility. I didn't learn to fight like my pastor until I was in the battle with my pastor. And I understood that it was my responsibility to see this thing come through as well. You want victory? Then I'm going to help you get victory, pastor. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to retain everything that you give me. Man, I'm being a student. He perfected his craft. At this time, there was only two people in the Israelite camp that had swords. That was King Saul and that was Jonathan. Everybody else was sharpening shovels and, you know, they were all the garden tools. And I was thinking to myself, like, here's Jonathan's armor bearer. What did he have? Maybe he just had the armor, you know, maybe he just had the shield. You know, maybe he had one of those jailhouse shanks, right? Because he already knew Jonathan was like, oh man, my leader's not going to sit here underneath this pomegranate tree. He's not going to stand for this. Because he already knew. Right when Jonathan, now he said, I already know. I can see that look on his face. You ever see that look on your pastor's face? He's like, oh, it's going down. Get the jailhouse shank. He knew that Jonathan was up to something. He's like, oh, we're not sitting under this tree for long. He started getting something ready. He started perfecting his craft. You can't expect your pastor to give you everything that you need. Yes, you have to be a retainer, but you have to learn to start retaining yourself. Start being the best that you can be. If you're called to preach like him, then you better start studying like him. If you want that same anointing, then you better start getting whatever you need to do. Start bettering yourself. So that way when, you know, your pastor leaves and you're called to run this pulpit, then you don't miss a point. The people are like, man, I miss Pastor Danny. I really do miss him. Sunday was good, but, you know, last Sunday. No. Begin to retain what he's teaching you. If he tells you something and he shows you how to do it, then keep doing it the same way, because that means that's the way that he wants it. And then begin to show others. See, he made it happen because he knew that it was his responsibility, but he just didn't throw it together. He did it with the same quality. He said, because this is what my armor bearer expects. He went to war And the Bible says that they cleared half an acre by themselves, which means he went this way and his, you know, his armor bearer went that way. But you know what? Jonathan could trust his armor bearer because he had the same fighting style. In other words, he had the same results that Jonathan was going to have. And as he went this way, they went that way, and they began to clear the field together. See, when you have men that think and respond and see like Pastor Danny, then he can trust you to clear that side of the field, knowing that it'll be the same result, knowing that it'll be the same outcome, knowing that it'll be the same quality, and there'll be no question. It'll almost be as if he did it himself. Did Pastor do that? No, I did. I could have swore that was Pastor. Wow, when you preached, you sound just like Pastor. That anointing, that direction. See, he paid attention to the details, saw the little things that made the difference to the whole, and he took responsibility for that. Don't worry about it, Pastor. I'll take care of that. I learned that. You know, I remember Pastor would, and I was telling Pastor Pat this, but I remember Pastor Tom be like, man, this brother. And I'm like, yeah, this brother. Not even knowing why he was telling me. Then the Holy Spirit said, well, what are you going to do about it? Hey, Pastor, you want me to handle that? Yeah. Can you do that for me, please? And I remember that he would share his frustrations, but he was just looking for somebody to take care of business for him. And I remember like, you know what, Pastor, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. Not that it's above your pay grade, but you shouldn't have to do that. You have other things to worry about. You have bigger things to worry about. We're not just on a local scale. We're on an international scale, guys. I want you to know that you're just not on a local scale. You're on an international scale when it comes to Pastor Danny. And your pastor shouldn't have to be taking care of certain things. He had to be the same quality and have the same effectiveness so that there was no room for mistakes. Devin, if you can bring that up for me, please. Because this really what it is, that when you begin to get the heart of your pastor, I want you to understand something. What is this? Coke, right? It has all the ingredients inside of it that make it a Coke. Okay, Coke. What is this? Glass. Right? It's like elementary.
That's a glass. Hey, Devin, that's a glass.
Now what is it? It's Coke. Remember, the glass is just a vessel. Matter of fact, once this is all gone, what is this? Just an empty can. But the same substance that's in this can is now in this vessel. So if I taste it, it's Coke. Go ahead, taste it. Is it? It's Coke. He bears witness. We are in agreement. Congregation tastes one thing. But when it comes to you, do they taste another? Are you giving them the same quality, the same brand, the same substance that your pastor's giving them? Or has it been diluted somewhere? See, pastor's looking for vessels that have the same quality. So that way when he leaves, when he's taking care of Pastor Sonny's vision, Sister Julie's vision, the substance still remains. It's not gone. It's the same quality. It's the same potency. It has the same value. Do you see what I'm saying? Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara are looking for somebody, whether it's a woman or a man, leaders that they can pour their hearts into, because they know that if they not duplicate themselves, but they create the same brand, then you can begin to grow, begin to expand. In order for our church to go from where it's at to the 700s and the 800s, we have to create a brand, which was first given to Pastor Sonny, the elders, the leaders, and now it's the same opportunity for you to have the same brand. Is the church tasting what Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara have been giving? It has to be the same quality, the same impact, the same results, and the same victory. We have to cover more ground, especially in the time that we're living. And we need more people to say, you know what? I'm not just focused on going out and starting a church. And I know our ministry talks about that. I'm all for going out. I want to go out eventually. But I know not until my job is done and not until my pastor has 7 or 8 more just like me. And they're up. That's my heart. I'm discipling. I'm moving. I say, you know what? You need to meet me at the altar at 8 o'clock. I'm working myself out of jobs. I said, all right, you know what? What do you see that's not right? The lights are over there. So you know what? I don't even have to show up at 8 o'clock anymore. And, you know, I have disciples that show up and make sure that stuff's taken care of. You know what? Marriage problems, you can handle that. You've been discipled in that. You take care of that. But they're not getting anything less. They're not being cheated. Because the same way that Pastor Tom and Sister Dodie would minister to their life is the same way that I will. And it's the same way that I'm training my guys and the couples that we work with to do the same thing. Because it's a brand. We're not clones. You guys have your own gifts and talents and character. Pastor Tom says all the time, he says, there's Pastor Caesar and then there's Rich. I don't know what that means. I'm just like, I don't know if that's a good thing, if that's a bad thing. He's like, I can't put Rich inside of Caesar, and I can't put Caesar inside of Rich. Yeah. I know what it means. We're too different, but yet we share the same vision. We are the same brand. Everybody loves Pastor Caesar. He's Pastor Caesar. All right? The little... Pastor Caesar. And everybody hates me. They're like, oh, I'm going to get rebuked. Oh, because I'm the one that comes in and cleans up. I clean up quick. I'm like, oh, Pastor ain't going to like that, brother. You know that when people show up late to service, they don't even text Pastor anymore. They text me. Pastor doesn't get any of those calls. Pastor doesn't get those messages like, oh, you know, I'm sick and, you know, my house is underwater. And I was like, brother. I get those calls. But he's looking for men and women and leaders to surround him that do whatever it takes. Because what happens is they begin to get the heart of the king. They begin to see the vision clearer than ever before because they're seeing through their pastor's eyes. More can be accomplished without losing the vision and the direction of our king. But the question, can you be trusted with your pastor's heart? Can you handle the conflict? That's a big thing. When you think about promotion, I don't know. Hopefully everybody here has a job. Right? Who has a job? Amen, most of you. I know it's a home. You'll get a job eventually, right? The gang's like, I'm not ever going to get a job. You know, my kids are like, well, can't we just live off of you for the rest of my life, Dad? No, but they're doing it anyway. It's like, anyway, when you're in a job, as you begin to get up the ranks, just like in leadership, the promotion comes with more conflict. You're being promoted because you can handle conflict without losing a church member. Without hurting their feelings, but them leaving thinking, being encouraged, like, oh. You know, there's people that don't even, Pastor Tom's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so. They've been coming to the church for a long time. And they're like, not saying that he's unreachable, but saying that as you begin to grow, not everybody's going to be able to get to the pastor, but they have to have that same brand. Can you be trusted with conflict? Can you give, or can you be given a ministry without any question of your methods? When he goes to international events, are you there? That's a big thing. I learned that too. Like, as a matter of fact, I learned it quick because Pastor said, hey, if I'm there, you're there. It's non-negotiable. He says, you need to get the international vision, not just the global vision. And there's been times that I've gone to events. There's been times that, you know, I'm like, Pastor, I'm not even a regional yet. He said, no, I still want you to be there. But I was there simply because Pastor just wanted me to be there. Whatever that meant. And I'm telling you, I got the opportunity, but I'm telling you, those are big things. If he can only trust you with the local vision, then you're not ready to be an armor bearer for a king. These are just checklists, guys. I don't know who goes and doesn't. Don't get mad at me. Right? Can you make a decision without his approval? Woo! Leaders. Does he have to be in the house, or do you have to say, you know, let me talk to Pastor about that? Now, I know there's bigger, but there's a lot of decisions that come through me and Pastor Caesar that don't ever reach Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom's like, really? What? Oh, okay, all right, that's good. If Pastor Rich said it, because he's with me heart and soul. If Caesar said it, he's with me heart and soul. Doesn't mean we don't get rebuked, but. And can he trust you with his sheep? And can he trust you with his honor? It doesn't matter how close you get to your pastor. I know one thing. As they make their way to the piano. I learned this morning, once you say, I'm getting ready to land, that means that you run to the piano. At our church, that means that we're like flying around the airport for like 20 minutes. I love my pastor. And I will do whatever it takes to see his vision come to pass. And I know one day, my wife and I were called. But we chose, because he asked me, he said, are you going to leave? And God told me, no, you're going to stay here and help this man build. And that was before he came and became an elder. He said, because his responsibility is going to get much larger. He said, but I need you here. And I said, you mean I have to put my dream on the shelf, God? He said, yeah, that means you have to put your dream on the shelf. You mean that my desires have to be put? Yes, that means you have to put your desires on the shelf. But I understand this, that when it's time for us to go, there's going to be, and I believe it with my whole heart, there's going to be a fast response. Because all the things that I've learned and all the things that I was developed by being under this man of God, that when we go, everything that we sacrificed is going to be reaped. But I know this, guys. Don't ever think that your pastor is your homie. Don't ever think that you guys are roll dogs. Because as soon as you step across that line, you begin to devalue him amongst the congregation. This is the man of God. This is your king. This is the one who sits in this house and ultimately has the final decision, but has paid a price to lay down their life and come to create and start a church that you can serve in. And what a great opportunity you have to serve right next to them. But I'm telling you, they just don't need anybody. They need somebody with their heart that says, Pastor, you want to go to war? Let's go to war. You want to reach a city? Let's reach the city. You want my money? Here's my money. You want me to go to this? You want me to get launched out? Send me, Pastor. But I will not water down your honor and who you are. As you stand to your feet tonight. You know, when all of this happened, I don't know about you, I guess I'm very charismatic and I always see things in my head. I told my wife and kids one day, I said, this is how my mind works. And they laughed because they were like, that's exactly what it looks like. But I could just imagine that adrenaline. Saying, okay, nobody else wants to do it? I'm going to do it. Not even knowing if they were going to die on the top of that mountain. There's times a pastor says, we're going to do this, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't see what you see. But I'm going to follow you up that mountain. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because not only do I trust that you have the heart of this vision, but I trust that you have the heart of God. We have to understand that with all of our heart. This vision is not what saved you. God saved you. And I want you to understand the heart of this ministry is from God. And you have to be willing to go no matter what it takes, even if it costs your life. Are you willing to lay down your life for the sake of your pastor so that his vision, his desires, his dreams can be fulfilled? Do you see what he sees? And even if you don't, are you still ready to go to war? This church has so much room, and I heard the need. This is just the beginning, but God is waiting for armor bearers to come side by side by side. And you might have these qualities already, but I know this, that even myself, there's areas that I still lack. I want to be the best that I can be for my pastor. Every eye closed. You say, you know what, pastor, that's me. I want to be an armor bearer. I want to be an armor bearer that's effective. I want to be there on time. I want to be there from start to finish. No glory to me, but whatever it takes for my pastor, whatever it takes for his wife, whatever it takes for their future, because I know ultimately, just like that tea, I'm going to go wherever he goes. I'm going to experience everything that he experiences. And one day, I'm going to trade this in and I'm going to become the golf ball. And it'll be my turn. But I'm going to be experienced. If that's you, I want you to come to these altars tonight. Pray for me. Hallelujah. And if it's not, don't feel the pressure. Because like I said from the beginning, it's only for a selected few. Those that are ready and willing.